This episode of Voices of the Elephant is brought to you by GitHub. Looking for an interesting open source project to contribute to or use? Go to github.com/explore to discover all kinds of fascinating and useful projects, and github.com/trending to see what's most popular in the open source community.
Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. We're here in sunny Santa Clara. Well, I guess it's not sunny anymore because it's evening now. But we're here in Santa Clara, California at ZenCon 2014. And my special guest is Ms. Erin O'Neill. Say hi to everybody, Erin.
Hello, hello. I'm so excited to be here.
And you gave at least one talk today. Did you only give one while you're here, or did you give more than one?
I gave two talks. I gave one today, one yesterday, and now I'm free.
Awesome. Yeah. Great. Yeah, I just finished mine. And now I can relax.
Yeah, so that's the feeling.
Yeah, thank you. But I made it through. But I know from following you on Twitter and having seen you at, I saw you at Midwest for a little bit. I didn't get to stay in longer, as long as I wanted to. You do an awful lot of talking about managing developers, managing projects, stuff like that. And I think here you gave a talk what to do when your project goes bad.
Yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about what's in that and what to do when a project goes bad.
Well, the way that I had the talk structured was three case studies. So I work at an agency, which means I have as many as 9 projects going on at the time, so that's a lot of opportunity for things to go bad. And despite our best efforts, despite all the good planning, stuff goes bad, and we just have to admit that, I think, as developers. So what I wanted to do was talk about that, make it something that's not shameful, make it something that we can address and admit and say, I've made mistakes, my company's made mistakes, you guys do too, let's talk about it. So what I specifically got into was kind of how to make a culture where it's okay to mess up. So a term that gets used a lot is a blame-free culture. Somebody pointed out after the talk that maybe I should say shame-free, because I don't think that we need to drop accountability, of course.
No.
What you need to do is create a culture where people are willing to admit that they messed up, and instead of it becoming a wear the shame hat because you broke the build, or it becoming a thing that makes you fearful for your job, it's just we can all acknowledge that it happened, get the details, solve it as a company, and move on. And what that does is it creates a culture in a company where people are willing to admit mistakes.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it's too easy to bury things, and then you find out much, much, much later, and it is really, really ugly.
I had this situation. I was running a development team back in Nashville a while back, and one of my developers, it was a younger developer, we had an Oracle database with a very serious Oracle DB, you know the type, you know, this is real business. And my junior developer did something that messed up the database.
Yeah.
Okay, and so they called me 8:00 at night, literally I'm at my daughter's recital, so I come in, we sit down, you know, the Oracle DB is like, yo, this is wrong, you know, you need to discipline this. I said, wait. I said, let's figure out what went wrong.
Yep.
Let's solve it. Then we'll figure out if there is something that we could do to prevent it.
Yeah.
Because if somebody makes a mistake, you can't just jump down their throat. Now, if it happens again, maybe you've got a problem that you need to solve. But one mistake should not, there should not be one mistake that's going to be, this is a career-ending move.
Absolutely. I totally agree. My philosophy is make any mistake once, just don't make it twice.
Yes.
Figure out what happened the first time, mitigate it, put in steps so it doesn't happen, and go make new mistakes.
Yes.
Because new mistakes are way more interesting.
Well, and if you're not making mistakes, then quite honestly, you're not doing anything.
You're not. You're not trying hard enough.
Yeah.
Software's got bugs. That's why we have QAs. But somehow it becomes something we can't talk about after a certain point.
Yeah.
You know, there's certain ways you can screw up that suddenly that's too bad, but other ones we joke about because, you know, that ticket got sent back to me and I can't believe I missed it. So, yeah, I just think that we need to make a kind of a switch in the industry where from somewhere where it's kind of funny or where that DVA takes his job maybe a little too seriously. And, the idea that he would ask for discipline just kind of makes me sad.
He and I had a talk the next day about the fact that A, he doesn't run this team.
He doesn't make those decisions.
And B, don't ever ask me to discipline one of my developers again.
You know?
Now, and in this case, it wasn't necessary. There have been times when, you know, there are times when you have to sit down and talk with a developer and have a heart-to-heart talk about you're making the same mistake over. And we've all had to do that. You know, that's a part of management. But, you know, in this case, it was a catastrophic mistake. One big thing where he corrupted a good chunk of the database, we were able to recover most of it. We were able to move on, you know, and he turned out, you know, it turned out, and this is what I love about the ending of the story, he was, at that point, very conscious, the developer, very conscious about what he's doing, and he turned into be a long-term developer on that team, outlasted me by several years, and became a very valuable developer to that team because we took the time to say, okay, you messed up, but we're not going to fire you. We just want to help you fix it.
Right. And what you said about being able to recover it, I think that's how companies need to look at it more because someone who will remain nameless that I work with now, we all talk openly about this, but I don't know if he wants to get called out on a podcast. But on one of very early in his career, he erased root on the dev server.
Oh yeah.
We found out the hard way there was a problem with rsync and the way we had sort of our implementation set up, and he sent the wrong path through and rsynced nothing to root, and the whole dev server was gone.
Oh.
And we still tease him about it because that's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
The company then learned a valuable lesson about, okay, we need to put safeguards around how we're doing this, and we feel really good about our backup process, or rather we feel good that we have it, and now we get to exercise it and see if it's fast enough. And so those kind of mitigations are what should be happening, because just because your developer doesn't make that mistake doesn't mean your database isn't going to corrupt itself.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that you're not going to have a tornado.
And you've invested now enough in that developer so that he's made that mistake. If you toss any developer out the door after making a mistake, then all the investment you've made goes with them.
Well, and let's be honest, you won't have any developers left.
Oh, that's true.
So,
yeah. We all do this at one point.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, I've made some ugly stuff. So, the real core of my talk was there's a lot of tactics. Like, I liked when I do talks, give really specific things that people can write down in their notes and take home. But the bottom line is we make software with people.
Mm-hmm.
We make it with other people who are as flawed and complex as we are, and we make it for clients who are as flawed and complex. And if you ever stop realizing that, if you ever stop thinking of people as people and just start wondering why they don't act like computers, the whole thing falls apart. Whole industry gets ugly, and you're not going to be a very pleasant person.
No.
So that's sort of was the core of what I wanted to get at. Both today and yesterday, I gave a talk kind of on UX.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be distilled down to, you're making software for and with people. So adjust accordingly.
Now, you work at an organization called Clockworks.
I do.
Has Clockworks, is it a culture that is that has adopted this concept?
Oh, absolutely. I learned it from them.
Oh,
yeah.
Excellent.
I feel really lucky. The leadership there is very strong, and they've, I heard another good quote today that culture is just people mimicking what leadership does.
Mm.
And I think that is so true for us, because the leadership has set a great example of treating people like people, recognizing that users and developers and employees are all people, that we're all fallible, that technology is a thing that we're all going to work at together. And I have totally been just immersed in it there, and it's fantastic. Like, a lot of people hear some of the specific stuff we do and they're like, that's nuts, that could never work. But company's been around for over 10 years and it's still there.
That's awesome.
And it has very, very high retention and very low turnover, and we make really good software. And
see,
so I kind of want to like preach the gospel of like, you know, go dev like you're devving with people. It'll be cool.
Well, and it's good to be in a situation, because I've been in companies where the concept of corporate culture was the ping pong table.
Yeah.
You know,
totally.
Or the kegerator.
Right.
That's not culture.
Don't get me wrong. We got a keg.
Well, but that's an amenity. That's not culture.
Absolutely. Exactly. The perks are not culture.
Yeah.
Culture is how people act and how people. I stole that line straight from my boss. Perks are not culture. It's just, there are things that are there and they're great and I love them and we're all very grateful for the beer.
Yeah.
But it has nothing to do with how we get the work done and how we work with each other and if we like being there or not, frankly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's wrap this up.
Okay.
I have the same two questions for you I ask everybody at the end.
Oh, I should have studied.
What is your local user group and what's the URL?
The local user group is Minnesota PHP.
Okay.
And the URL, I don't know, because it auto-completes.
They're out on Meetup, though.
They're on Meetup. Yeah. MNPHP is on Meetup. They meet once a month, mostly at the Nerdery in Bloomington, which is pretty accessible for anybody down there. So.
Excellent. Yeah, yeah. Jonathan Sundquist is
Jonathan
in the leadership.
Sundquist.
And he also is in the leadership of Midwest PHP.
Absolutely.
Whose call for papers is currently open, although by the time this releases, I'm not sure if it will be.
I think it ends mid... I don't remember. Maybe mid-November.
Yeah, then it probably is closed by this point. You've missed your opportunity, but you can still get tickets, I guarantee you. So, and that's a great conference. I've been to that.
In
fact, that's where I saw you speak the very first time.
I think that's where we met.
This year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us on Voices of the Elephant. And thank you for all that you're now doing, because every time I turn around, I see your name popping up. You're doing more and more in the community. Thank you for helping make the PHP community as awesome as it is.
Thanks for having me here. This was fun.
Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled ELEPHPANT.